It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We have the C-Note coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. We'll hit the expressway in an hour and 20. We go commercial-free to the top every night in the 5 o'clock hour. G-Bag of the Day, 5:30, LA Live, 5:40. So that kind of sets the agenda. You do have Rangers pregame coming up at 6:30. I said yesterday a must-win series, and I was sweating that bad boy. Oh, we get to the ninth inning, but your guy Rowdy Tellez doing it again. He's got a real knack for these things. I'm sorry. Here's Wolchuk with your Cowboys sounds and NFL news of the day.
Oh, boy. All right. We got an update when it comes to the practice injuries. Peyton Turner per Todd Archer did not participate because of rib soreness from the injury that happened in the Rams game. And then Jalen Brooks set out with a hip bruise. So we got hip bruise. We got ribs. Those are the issues here with Turner and with Brooks. Now, last night, the red carpet was out, or was it a blue carpet?
It was blue.
Was it a blue carpet?
Yeah, they want that blue carpet.
Yeah, they do. Cowboys, Netflix, the Jerry docuseries, America's Team, The Gambler, and whatever it is, the team that he built. I don't know how the other side of that ending is, but we're excited. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to soak it in. I think it's going to be awesome. Netflix usually is pumping out pretty good docuseries here, but we had a lot of people talking. A lot of talking going down. Here was Jerry overall. When it came to controversy, and there certainly was a lot of controversy at that time. I'm sure they'll cover some of it during this Netflix series, but here's his thoughts on controversy.
I do believe if we're not being looked at, then I'll do my part to get us looked at. The Cowboys are a soap opera 365 days.
The stream will begin.
When it gets slow, I'll stir
it
up.
Please take your seats.
And so it is, it's wonderful to have the great athletes, have the great players. But there's something more there. There's sizzle. There's emotion. And if you will, there's controversy. That controversy is good stuff in terms of keeping and having people's attention.
Got to keep the controversy brewing. We got to keep the attention brewing. And honestly, hey, from a marketing, from a business perspective, Jerry's crushed it. He's right. He keeps the Cowboys in the news. But I do wonder, you know, this kind of goes back to some of the stuff that I know you were grilling Stephen Jones about, Gavin. Other people, Don Van Natta, talking about the contracts. And hell,
Bill Barnwell
had this article out. Yeah. And cutting it short, I mean, we can just get to the meat and potatoes of this. He was talking about like the Cowboys' lack and how much money they have cost themselves with their contract negotiations. And he looked at Dax. He said, realistically, we're looking at about $50 million and some meaningful and calculable amount of more by the Cowboys by waiting to get Dax's deal done twice. Waiting did not save them any money or prove anything beyond the fact that the organization failed to get the negotiations over the line until it had forfeited virtually all of its leverage. Then CeeDee Lamb last year. Again, you look at that. Lamb would have been paid his fourth year base salary at $2.5 million, his fifth year at $18 million, but the Cowboys likely spent $14 million more on Lamb's deal in 2024 than if they had negotiated the year earlier. So you look at that combined, that's $63.9 million in extra money paid by the Cowboys because of their negotiating tactics, and then the Micah deal this offseason, and how much more they're going to end up losing and how much more they're going to end up paying because of that. So some of it might come back to, hey, Jerry does want to be in the news, but it's also just bad business in terms of building a football team. And I know Steven will say, hey, every negotiation is different, and he's right. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors in fairness to them. But it does seem like a flawed strategy. And
well, it doesn't cost you any actual real money. You're going to spend the same amount of money. You're just giving more to your stars. So you get to say our quarterback is the top paid. You're not helping yourself win. But right, that would be a lot of work, you know. And I think this strategy also allows them to pay more attention to concessions, real estate, and oil. Because they're just like, oh, well, we're just not going to think about it until there's a deadline. Then we'll give them way too much money. But the deal is it's free marketing. You don't have to spend any actual extra dollars for this.
And it is costing them money, though, in terms of that given year, the salary cap. And they're a team that talks about the salary cap all the time.
Yeah.
So because of these and them now prolonging it, like there's cap space that could have been saved in these other years for them to actually have attacked it and go for it, which is something that you talk about a lot. So like they're kind of hurting themselves in these areas because of them prolonging it, whether it is for the headlines and the news and the controversy.
But they're helping themselves if you accept the fact that they are more business, like what Denzel said today. They're right. much more interested in making money than winning games.
Yes.
Okay, so,
they are helping themselves a lot.
So let's get to the man on fire, Denzel Washington, who has a new movie coming out. He spoke with Stephen A. Smith on First Take, and here was Denzel calling out Jerry.
There's box office, and there's Oscars. Jerry, been a while, huh? You ain't been to the show, you wouldn't know.
Ooh.
Wouldn't been to the show, you wouldn't know.
Uh-oh.
Haven't been to the show, so you wouldn't know what it is to win.
I don't need to add.
I feel like we could
And I love the Cowboys. I love the Cowboys because I really love them. This is why I feel the way I feel. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about the movie.
And I wanted to get back to the movie because, you know, you didn't bring the Cowboys.
Speaking of the movie, the same thing.
Highest to lowest. You didn't bring it up.
And what does it say down the bottom of the movie?
What?
Or does it say it on the one sheet?
What does it say?
All money ain't good money, Jerry.
Say it again.
All money ain't good money, Jerry.
One time.
August 15th, we open Friday.
Woo, Lord.
All money ain't good money.
I would say that this falls into the category of not good money. When it comes to paying your players and doing what's best in terms of team building, because we want to put the best product on the field, like there's other things, and Jerry said it, like, hey, if it's boring out there, I'll do something, I'll stir it up. And he's great at doing it. I'm sure he can find other ways to get some controversy stirred up, then it's always got to be prolonging contracts. It's tiresome, it's boring, it's old, and everyone's kind of caught up to what you're doing here. So this Micah thing, I think, is legitimate. I think this Micah one is different to the previous two, but there was no reason with Dak and CD to have that go on take as long as it's taken, and I hope the same thing doesn't happen with Tyler Smith.
Unless they had questions about Dak. I don't know about CD having questions about CD. Maybe the questions about Dak were the ones that prolonged this. That the fact that people in the organization are like, you have to do this, and then Jerry didn't want to do this. That would be the only thing that I think that, to me, that one makes sense in a way. The way they operate, I was part of that for 14 years and stuff like that, and you know, I always felt like we were hurry up and wait. Mm-hmm. We were a hurry up and wait team. And so with Dak, there's questions. There were questions. The owner had questions if it was really the right thing to do with Dak before all this was done. Is this really the guy that we want to do this with? And I think this is also the Jerry's biggest fault is he listens to people telling him things. And it paralyzes him. And I think it paralyzes the organization because they do get opinions. They do solicit ideas. They do have pods to talk about draft picks and things and how, you know, they want to get Mike McCarthy involved, even though he's been in Green Bay and never had anything to do with the player personnel department. They want to solicit opinions, and sometimes the opinions don't line up with what Jerry wants. And then it's like, listen, we have to, all right, let's wait for Jerry to settle down. We'll revisit this in another week. Let's wait for Steven to settle down. We'll wait another week here. I think when you ultimately have that kind of front office with so many opinions solicited, it's going to be a long time before you get contracts.
You nailed it. You just hit the nail on the head.
But I would change out Denzel's take, and I would take out the Jerry stuff, and I would enter Steven, because Jerry is new money and he's willing to throw the dice and risk losing everything to try to win. He loves the thrill of it. Okay. It's really Steven that has turned this into a business operation that extracts value out of it. Like,
maybe
I think that's the bigger issue here, is how Steven has wrestled control of the organizational philosophy.
That could be, but I think everything you said there, Brian, about you got too many cooks in the kitchen. I asked you when you had your kick-ass draft in Philly. Mm-hmm. You told me how small of a group that was. Do you think that helped you? You
Four
said
of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think a big issue here is, and here was James Washington. James Washington was interviewed by Clarence Hill Jr., who could have been the MVP of the Cowboys' second Super Bowl win against the Buffalo Bills. He was incredible in that game. And I went back and watched it for the person who keeps texting and like, stop acting like you were alive and you know. There's a thing called YouTube, and you can also go purchase
a great time
all
machine.
The games. Like, I've seen them all. The 70 Super Bowls, watched them all. Mm-hmm. The 90 seasons, watched them all. Like, that's the great thing about the internet these days. You're allowed to go back and do your homework and educate yourself. You didn't have to be consciously aware and alive there. But here was James Washington. Are you surprised about these 30 years since the Cowboys won a Super Bowl?
Cowboys ain't won in 30 years. How surprised are you?
After Jimmy left, I'm not surprised.
Jimmy had the ability to do all of this. Draft his guys, trade, and Jerry handled the business. And it was a tremendous pairing. Ever since then, for whatever other reasons you want to put in, I think that might be a huge cause of this. Because Jerry does, and you've always said this, he takes in a lot of information. He talks with friends.
Bill Parcells.
He asks for advice.
Al Davis.
All of that.
Bill Belichick.
I think that's an issue. You need to have, and maybe it can be a core group of three people maybe, but you need to have one vision. You need to have ultimately one guy that's got a plan that's going to make the decisive decisions here.
But that's what happens when your GM is not an actual football guy. Well, so that's what he has to do.
And he's been fighting against people that have been saying that for the last 30 years. And that's why he won't ever give up the GM title, because he feels like people don't respect him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I agree with almost everything you guys are saying. I still think this team could overcome if they just spent more money. You know, for all of their flaws, they do something incredibly well. And that's find talent out of college and draft it. You know, if they would just, when they have those good runs, say, hey, we need to shore up our weaknesses. And that's how Jerry was aggressive in the 90s. Then I think they could be champions many times over.
I think
since 95.
I've said this before, and a buddy of mine, Steve Karakoff, who is, Jimmy brought him from Miami with him. You know, so he's seen it all. And Steve and I were talking about this one day. And when Jerry was at his absolute leveraged to the point where it was like he didn't know if it was going to work or not.
Didn't know if he's going to be able to pay the bills.
He didn't know if he was at his absolute best.
Yeah.
And
because fortune favors the bold.
Yeah, he even said it. And there's no reason for them to be that way anymore.
No,
but there's no reason to. There's no reason to take the chances.
He admitted that.
But when you're losing $1 million a week at mm-hmm. that time, and you don't know if you're gonna be able to make the interest payments and all, that's when Jerry was at his absolute best. And I don't think that Steven shares the same appetite as his dad, because they've made it. You know, his dad went through something. I'm going through this right now, trying to create my business. You know, you just this uncertainty that you have, and you wake up every day.
It's just driving you.
Just it drives you, but you're thinking about, you got people's lives you feel responsible for, and you just every day you're out there thinking, how can I do this? What stone do I need to turn over here? But when you get to a point where you're like, you know, where he's at, it's no longer that way. This whole thing, this Netflix thing. I think Jerry Jones honestly is worried about his legacy. I think he's worried about, and Jane Slater and I were talking about this, and it makes a lot of sense. Like a Joe Biden, who is, and I don't mean to make this political, but a career politician who was a guy that was able to work both sides of the aisle and get things done. But then he became the president, and he wasn't the same guy. He didn't have his fastball anymore. And now the legacy of Joe Biden is no longer a politician that got things done. He's kind of a joke. It's just a lot of jokes about. And I think Jerry Jones honestly is worried about his, and he says maybe that, oh, I'm thick skinned and all that and stuff like that. I think things bother him now. I really, really do. I think things bother him more. I think you see interaction with the media. He's lashed out at us a couple of different times, you know, and I think that, to me, he's finally realizing that if he leaves this earth, his legacy might not be the guy who was the three-time Super Bowl champ.
And I think he maybe last night was trying to tell us, in light of his legacy, it's actually his son's fault when he said that line that you referenced a few minutes ago. When we had success, our appetite for risk became shorter. He spelled it out last night. We haven't won because we haven't swung hard enough trying to win. That's all Stephen Jones doing. The text says, you know, after Stephen was right about Johnny Manziel, that was checkmate. That was, Dad, you're too old. You want to draft Johnny. Go do your thing, right?
Sure.
You know, son's got this right now. And I think Jerry loves his firstborn son so much as Stephen is firstborn.
No, Jerry Jr.
He loves his secondborn son so much because he's actually more competent than firstborn son. He doesn't want to take it away from him. But he knows son ain't got it.
Jerry Jr.'s the youngest.
He told Stephen that day, he said, son, I never got anywhere playing the safe thing. We just did the safe thing, right? But since then, he's let son do the safe thing for return on investment offseason after offseason. So we're stuck with rosters watching undrafted guys and seventh rounders trying to start for you. This is insane, right? And it's, I don't know. It's actually a good segue into the next segment. Okay, we got the C-note coming up here, the Cowboys news of the evening. How does the next 3 years look for the Cowboys compared to their peers? ESPN studied it. How likely are they to have more success soon? That's coming up next here, G-Bag Nation on the Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time for the C-Note Cowboys News of the Evening segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, looks like we're going to be at Pickler Universe on Friday. Cannot wait to pickle it up. We back in Carrollton, Pickler Universe. Heck of a facility.
Yeah, back-to-back remotes. Thursday will be at Jake's in Grand Prairie, and then Friday back in Carrollton.
Hopefully it won't fall down there.
Which one?
I always worry about both places. Yeah. I could fall down any place. You never know.
We want to get you one of those life alerts.
You know what? I was kind of thinking about that. I just pop up quick. Like, I know Wolchuk saw me. It's like I popped up quick and was blessed.
I just immediately sense like the embarrassment and shame, and I don't want to aid in that at all.
I was carrying the chair, and I just like threw it forward. You know?
Oh, jeez.
Like, I'm rolling around on the ground. And
was there as much of a jolt as CeeDee Lamb received from that official Saturday night? Was it comparable?
I think that CeeDee Lamb, he's lucky he didn't get hurt.
Yeah,
that's lucky that we didn't have a back issue there. Was
I was thinking
whiplash or something like that. Yeah,
contusion.
Yeah,
You know, a little bulging disc.
He hit him hard. He hit him hard.
NFL future power rankings. ESPN did this. Which teams are primed to be among the league's best over the next three seasons, 2025 through 2027? Where would you put the Cowboys here, and why? At 877-881-1053. Maybe top third, middle third, bottom third. Like which? Which third do you think they belong in if you had to eyeball it? They asked experts, Ben Solak, Lewis Riddick, Aaron Schatz, and Seth Walder.
The uncomfortable name.
To rate each team's QB, remaining non-quarterback roster makeup, front office, and coaching staff using their scale, and they threw it all together. They have the Eagles number one, by the way. Do you think the Eagles are going to win another Super Bowl here pretty soon?
I mean, if they can stay healthy, they could get back this year. And, I mean, Jalen Carter, I think, is about to take over as the best defensive tackle in the game. They've got a good young secondary. I think it's health-related with that team. And I think we've seen it where, like, they had the gift of health last year, but we've seen with some of these San Francisco teams that had really good rosters, a season can be derailed that way. So I'm going to say no. I don't think that they will win another one. And it's also my bias because I hate them.
Yeah.
It's very possible. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. They prioritize championships, so they will do whatever they can to sort of reinvent the roster as needed over the course of the next few years. You know they will.
Yeah, I think they found their Steve Spagnuolo with Vic Fangio. Vic's not going anywhere. Vic doesn't want to be the head coach. He didn't want to be the head coach anymore.
I do think it's Dick. I don't know why Broadus does that.
That's a two-year.
Oh, Dick Fangio?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think they found their guy that kind of like that.
There you go.
And it was Steve Spagnuolo, like, does he want to be a head coach? Does he want to? Yeah, but he's in a really good spot in Kansas City. And I think as long as Dick Fangio wants to stay in Philadelphia,
their guy,
then they're going to – the offensive coordinator part of it, I think they can interchange. the defense, I think, is what is key for them.
Yeah, and old Dick, you know, there's no reason for him to go. He's not going to get another head coaching offer.
I don't think so. He's in a good spot there as long as he's happy. They're paying him well. You know, he could sit there and just coordinate it, knowing that they're going to draft defensive players. They're going to go try and sign defensive players. That's a good situation to be in. No reason for him to move along.
Week one pregame show with Merrill Reese, play-by-play voice of the Eagles. I hit a Dick Fangio on him. Is he going to correct me?
He will correct you, yeah.
See you later.
Okay.
No, I'm making a prediction he will correct
you.
Yeah.
I like that.
Sorry, Chief. Dick
Fangio. That's when I hit him with the, wait, well, what did I say? And then he has to say Dick Fangio.
I love it. I cannot wait. Now, I will say, you mentioned injuries. I think the Eagles did lose enough players that it's kind of like, compared to last year's team, they're already coming in down. I mean, Sweat, Slay, Milton Williams, that's three good players. You throw in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Brandon Graham, mm-hmm. and Oren Burks as well. So that's six rotational guys at one point or another. But you look at the NFC South, you look at the NFC West, and the NFC North, I think it's just the Lions. Like, until something else happens, I don't know what other team they have to worry about. You know, I guess it's just the AFC, like winning the Super Bowl. But I kind of expect Philly to be back in the Super Bowl at least, and maybe lose to the Bills. Or the
sure, I mean, like Green Bay, I think, is always prime for possibly a good year. But, yeah, I mean, Jordan Love today, he's having surgery on his thumb. He's having
They say he's going to be back for week one, though.
Yeah, and hopefully that's fine. But we know, like, quarterbacks with thumbs, that can be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that gets healthy. But, yeah, I mean, Jordan Love still has to prove that he can do that consistently. We've seen great moments. But I guess if Green Bay needs to figure out a quarterback or get him right, just go ahead and send him to Arlington, and they'll figure it out.
They put the Cowboys 23rd, by the way, saying last year my concern was, this is Riddick, was Prescott and his contract. This year it's the same issue, different player. Cowboys' obstacle is themselves, primarily Jerry and the effect that team building has on everybody. They say the nugget to know is Osa signed the 4-year deal, ranked second among all interior defensive linemen with quarterback knockdowns and a play is nullified by a penalty, and he was just amazing. And their bold prediction, it might not happen, but Parsons will break Michael Strahan and T.J. Watt's single-season sack record sometime in the next 3 years.
That'd be badass.
That would be a lot of fun. But, yeah, you know, I guess it's really hard to tell where you really are, because one good draft could totally, you know, change this type of deal. But I think there's so many holes on the roster. It reminds me of where we were in like 2011, the early Garrett years, Brian.
Irresponsible for me to say this. The next 3 years, I think they lose Will McClay to a general manager's job.
Oh, does kid graduate?
I just feel like that.
Tying him back to DFW
anymore.
Yeah,
I think that there's going to be a point in time in the next 3 years where maybe the Cowboys' name will, Steven, take over and, you know, well, and kind of appoints Will that title and gives him that opportunity. But I think in the next 3 years, they might lose Will McClay.
Yeah, and that
would hurt you in a lot of ways.
That would crush you. That would effectively be the end of, I think, the Jerry Jones era. You know, I think that at that point, you're waiting until this thing just totally folds like Al Davis with the Raiders. Mm-hmm. The last 10 years were just a dumpster fire. And then you see if the kid, you know, can get this thing rebuilt with a different front office structure, however they choose to rise from the ashes. With the discipline topic, I do think Shoddy's going to have to go big on this at some point, maybe before cutdowns. I would look for him to kick somebody off the team here in the next week or so with the discipline topic. But he did say he's going to bench guys for penalties. How common is that, Brian, where you have a flag, you're maybe benched for the rest of the half or something?
Yeah, I got to kind of think about if CeeDee Lamb were to motion, illegal motion or something like that, is he going to bench that guy? I don't know. It's kind of, I think my benchings would be kind of selective, to be honest with you. If all of a sudden, you know, like somebody, it's really easy to kind of bench Sam Williams when he's in a rotational system, but you get somebody like CeeDee.
It's somewhere between one play and one half, depending on who you are.
I think
you're sitting for a series.
I think
George,
that's very selective is how I would look at that.
It's probably the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay. The right thing to do for us coming up next is to get some baseball chatter in here as Jared Sandler is set to join us and talk about how the Rangers go ahead and clinch a series victory tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks. So we're back with Sands here in the Nation. Yeah, buddy, let's talk some baseball here. Jared Sandler set to join you. He is at Jared Sandler on Twitter. He joins you every Rangers game day, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. And Rangers getting set to host the Diamondbacks once again tonight. We got a double remote week here. As Thursday, we're going to be at the Grand Prairie Jakes for Fan Phenom. It rolls on. Your opportunity to be the next fan host. And then on Friday, we're going to be at Pickler Universe in Carrollton, the home of the best pickleball courts in DFW. Pickler Universe, our pickleball home away from home. And I play pickleball in my backyard, so I say my back driveway. Here we go. Here's Jared Sandler, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Buddy, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Well, you know, feeling pretty good. That was an exciting finish last night, wasn't it? What'd you make of that, the way they got that done?
Well, kind of necessary. They really needed – you don't want to waste – you only have so many Evaldi and DeGrom starts the rest of the year. And, you know, DeGrom has saved, you know, the hitters a number of times this season. And so it was great for them to kind of get his back on a night when, you know, he wasn't his best. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just a glimpse that, you know, this offense can do things. The home run ball is something that, you know, everyone expected to be a big part of this offense. Maybe not, you know, hasn't played out that way so far, but I think we talked about it the other day. You know, if they can get going for the next 6 weeks, then that would be awesome. Maybe that unlocks something. You know, I don't know. But, you know, I thought they had some good at-bats that, you know, allowed them to open things up a bit there. I thought the bullpen did a great job of keeping them in it. And it was just a nice win. I don't want to draw too much from it because we've talked about this before. What happens if they go up, you know, tonight and they lay a goose egg? Well, then, you know, maybe there wasn't any sort of carryover. But, you know, hopefully it's something they can build upon. Here's the thing, guys. They're in a playoff race. And I know it'd be awesome if it was easy and they had a 10-game lead, but they don't. And, you know, we got to get ready to ride this emotional roller coaster the next 6-7 weeks because there are going to be some ups and downs, hopefully more ups than downs. But, you know, it's just fun that the games matter, right? It's fun that it wasn't just a fun win. It was a meaningful win, and you know, hopefully they get another one of those tonight.
And we're seeing bullpen domination, including our new friend Kalum, you know, who joined us last hour for the Rangers player show. How good have specifically he and Maton been? I mean, this is really good stuff.
Yeah, no, awesome. I mean, you know, Danny's been one of the best relievers in baseball the last few years, and, you know, he's just not a guy that pitches in the ninth inning, so maybe he doesn't get the acclaim. He doesn't throw 98 miles an hour, so, you know, that probably doesn't help in terms of getting, you know, recognition, but, you know, he has been really, really good. And, you know, for him to come in and do what he did, you know, help get things in motion for the Rangers after Wyatt's three-run homer. And then, you know, for Maton to do what Danny did earlier this homestand, I should say, against the Yankees, putting up a scoreless top of the 10th, that's what Maton did last night. I mean, that's invaluable, right? I mean, that just puts the ball on the tee. You know, for the home team to win the game. And, you know, sometimes we look at it through the lens, oh, the offense, they couldn't do it. And, you know, maybe, you know, the Arizona equivalents of us saying, oh, I can't believe they didn't, you know, do better and move the runner and manufacture a run in the top of the 10th. But, you know, from our vantage point, that was really good pitching from Phil Maton. And a lot of the analytic evaluations of his stuff graded him incredibly highly with just the effectiveness and the quality of his pitches yesterday, which kind of goes to show, you know, how much he had to do with it, maybe as opposed to the Diamondbacks just dropping the ball.
Jared, you mentioned Wyatt. I didn't realize it was a month since his last homer. I mean, in the time that you've been around Wyatt Langford and what you know about him, is that finally hitting a home run like that, can that propel him into a hot streak? Is he that type of hitter?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, we saw it 2 months last year in June and September. He just, you know, was white hot. You know, won the Rookie of the Month in June and then won the American League Player of the Month in September. I wouldn't go so far as to say that, like, that's going to be his career. He's just a really streaky player. But we've seen him get hot, and, you know, hopefully that's what we're about to have happen, you know, with Wyatt. Because, again, we talked about it. You know, the Rangers just need someone to get going. If it could be multiple people, great. But, you know, Wyatt's the type of guy that, you know, can put a lineup on his back and help. And, you know, I say all that, you know, Corey Seager's been really good here recently, but he needs some help, right? He needs someone hitting behind him to do damage. Doc Peterson's had a great homestand. Hopefully he can keep it up. But if they can get Wyatt going, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, we all think has the ability to be a star, and maybe it's unfair to expect it to all come together in his second season. But, you know, I think for guys like that, they do have the ability to show what the future might have in store, and hopefully he goes on one of those runs.
It was nice to see the offense be able to pick up Nathan Eovaldi. What did you see from him? Was it just the placement? He just couldn't get the spin that he's used to?
Yeah, it just didn't seem like the command and the control was really there. You know, we had Nick Hundley on the post game, and you know, he can evaluate this stuff at a much more advanced degree than I can. He talked about him maybe being a little rotational, so something mechanical that prevented him from putting the ball where he wanted it and maybe taking away from some of the movement. But, you know, you look at Evo hitting a couple of guys and, throwing some pitches that were center cut. I mean, he had a couple of splitters that were elevated, which is not typically where he's trying to throw that pitch. So it just seemed like he was a little bit out of whack. And, hey, that's going to happen, over the course of the season. It's crazy that, it had been since early April, that Evo had a start like this where, he had given up this sort of damage. So, it's a pretty remarkable run that he was on. And, you almost figured it's going to happen at some point. You just hope that, I think I said this on the broadcast to Matt. I was like, gosh, it's just unlucky. You figure that Evo's not going to allow one run or no runs the rest of the way. But you hope that maybe when he has an outing like this, the Rangers could, have a really nice offensive game. And that was when they were down 6-1. And you're just kind of lamenting the fact that, the bats just couldn't get it going, and then lo and behold, they obviously do. But, yeah, I'm sure, he can identify mechanical things that came up, but it really just seemed like the command wasn't as sharp as, what it's been for pretty much the majority of the year.
Jared Sandler with us here on The Fan. Jared, how does Jack Leiter match up with these guys?
Well, what we saw from Arizona yesterday was a really tough lineup to get through, and it's not just because Evo struggle with his command. It's been one of the better offensive groups in baseball, and they have really good at bats. It seems like they've got high IQ type at bats. So Jack has been really good at throwing strikes this year. It's been finishing hitters off that's been a challenge. Yesterday, if yesterday was any indication, this is a Diamondbacks lineup that's going well right now, and they're not going to give you gifts. So I think with Jack obviously continuing to do what he's done and getting ahead is going to be important. Now, that's kind of gone away from him a little bit the last few starts, but getting ahead and then just being smart and not trying to do too much with two strikes, efficient at-bats will allow him to have an efficient outing. But I will say this, this is a Diamondbacks team that, yeah, Jack's stuff, his power is an advantage, but they seem to be a group that will put together quality at-bats, and so Jack's going to have to be efficient and play, a high IQ ball game on the mound to get to them.
Okay, how much are we still waiting for, Berger to really get on fire? And do you think that's possible or likely? Like, his 30 home run seasons coming into this year, I mean, if he could get going like that, it'd be huge right now down the stretch.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And he's not in the lineup tonight. They're riding Rowdy right now, and Jake would be an option off the bench, similar to last night. But hopefully they can get him going. I don't think they look at Jake Berger as a guy who can only face righties. I think they view Jake Berger as a guy that can be in there every day. But I think right now, given their offensive struggles, which, by the way, not because of Jake or anything, but, Rowdy has provided a little bit of a spark. And if you're going to have Jock in there and you're going to have Rowdy in there, there's, someone's got to be the odd man out. But, yeah, you guys talk about a guy who can get hot. Jake Berger's a guy who, second half of the season last year, I mean, he got rolling, and he's a guy that can catch fire and really make an impact in a heartbeat. So hopefully once he does get back in that starting lineup, he'll be able to get rolling and show off that power. Because you're right, Gavin, I mean, that's something that they hope Jake would bring, and I think still believe he can bring, which is that power. He's not a high on base guy necessarily, but he's a guy who I think should be able to help slug this team into some favorable spots.
It was good to see Rowdy get some national TV love today, huh?
Yeah, you guys like that?
You like that?
Terrific.
Yeah. I guess we can have fun with that, right? So,
yeah.
I hope that Rowdy's around next spring and you guys get a chance to meet him. He's a really fun guy. He's a good guy.
We're requesting a Radio Redemption interview.
There you go.
Take two.
I think you'd, and you know what? I think he would be totally up for that. He's like I said, he's a fun guy.
It didn't sound like he was up to it. It sounded like he really kind of hated us.
No, I mean, I think he kind of has that dry, deadpan delivery. But I think he enjoyed. I think he kind of probably looked at it like, hey, you know what? They took some shots at me. I'll play it back. He's a smart guy. He knows. He knows what he's doing. But I think he'd have fun with it. And hopefully, listen, if it boosts your ratings and gets. Gets people aware of G-Bag because of those comments, then, everyone wins, right?
Was that planned all throughout the clubhouse today?
No, it wasn't, but there was a little bit of conversation But no, I mean, Rowdy wasn't like, oh my God, did you guys hear what I did? I got them. No. I think, you know, some people heard it and asked him about it. But, you know, otherwise he was busy playing cribbage. He's a really good cribbage player. He told me he plays in cribbage leagues in the offseason, so he takes his cribbage seriously. And I think he was more trying to make sure he won some money in the clubhouse.
I love it. Sands, thanks for the update on that. Now, is there any update on Evaldi? Is he fine? Everything's good? Got hit?
Yeah, I think he just had one of those nights. But, yeah, nothing. No physical concern that I'm aware of with Evo or anything like that.
Right on. Well, thank you, brother. Enjoy the evening. Pregame coming up at 6:30, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow after the game, right? Yeah, a little day baseball.
Yeah, let's do it, fellas.
Hold on, Jared. I'm super. What the hell is cribbage? I don't even know how to spell this. I'm trying to look this up.
Is that the game
with
little pegs in the board?
Yeah. C-R-I-B-B-A-G-E.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like a card peg game. That could be a drop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. It's,
continue.
You know what? I'm going to watch what I say.
Leave that to Choppy.
What's that?
We'll leave that kind of chatter up to Choppy.
Yeah, Choppy can talk to you about that element of the game. That's his specialty.
You're the man, Sands. Have a great night. There he goes. Jared Sandler, a must follow on Twitter. Brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Every Rangers game day here in the G-Bag Nation. Yeah, tomorrow's a 1:35 start, so we'll probably be on about 4:35 o'clock somewhere in there. And hopefully we'll have the brooms out, you know, celebrating a Rangers sweep. Okay, in addition to the finest coming up next, Chief.
The S in Cowboys stands for self-awareness for this player next in the nation.